This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on VSiN Primetime, I'm Scott Seidenberg here on the Sports Betting Network. You can hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live, monitoring all the baseball action going on right now, not just in Major League Baseball, but also College World Series action down in Omaha, where we got a little bit of a sweat on our hands right now. We got Arkansas on the money line against LSU. It's the bottom of the sixth inning. LSU has runners on second and third with two outs. So we'll see if Arkansas can get out of this jam and maintain this one-run lead going into the seventh inning. What's on the line tonight? If Arkansas wins, these two teams will play again tomorrow. If Arkansas loses, LSU will earn a trip to the championship series against Coastal Carolina coming up on Saturday. Joining us right now on the Progressive Guest Line as we take a look at the rest of the Major League Baseball scores for tonight is our very own Greg Peterson. Greg, thanks so much for joining us here on Primetime. I almost said Cashing Out. Cashing Out is what you will be hosting later on tonight here on VSiN, where you'll be tracking some late games in Major League Baseball. The San Francisco Giants take on the Guardians coming up about 45 minutes or so from now. Astros and A's from Sacramento, Padres and Dodgers from LA. Let's start with that first late game, Giants and Guardians. Good debut for Rafael Devers last night. 2-for-5 with an RBI double, so he goes over his player props, hits plus runs plus RBIs, total bases, what have you. What do you make of this line tonight? Giants about a minus 135 to minus 140 favorite with Justin Verlander coming off the IL to make the start.
Yeah, with Justin Verlander, certainly has been a little bit hit or miss with him all season long, but him coming off the injured list, I think that gives you a few innings. But the reason why I really trust in the under here is because with Justin Verlander, he's probably not going to be going long, and then that gives way to a bullpen that ranks number one in the big leagues in terms of ERA. And I just flat out have not been impressed by the Cleveland Guardians in their lineup. It's a very top-heavy lineup. You've got Jose Ramirez, who's been rock solid. Stephen Kwan has been able to give you a 300 average, but those guys at the bottom are all hitting darn near 200 this year, other than perhaps Daniel Schneeman. So, I mean, they leave a lot to be desired there. This is a Guardians team that has fallen to more around league average with regards to their bullpen ERA, as well with Emmanuel Clase and all of his struggles. So, I do take a look at this spot, and I do think that there's quite a bit of value here with the San Francisco Giants, especially with the Giants getting Devers, as you mentioned a little bit before. But as we know, going to be a little bit tougher for Devers to be able to hit home runs out there in San Francisco rather than Boston. So I took a shot on the 8-under to go along with that money line of the Giants.
You mentioned Emmanuel Clase's struggles, and last night the Giants loaded the bases against him in the ninth inning. He threw 20 pitches. I went through his game logs, Greg, and when he throws this many pitches, he doesn't go the second of a back-to-back. Like, usually when he pitches the second of a back-to-back, it's a lot less pitches in the first game. Now, I haven't seen anything out there concrete evidence or anybody reporting his availability for tonight, but if Clase is not available tonight, or if that's part of the handicap, do we like the Giants even more on the money line?
I think that it helps out a little bit more as well, because you do have Hunter Gaddis and Cade Smith. Both of these guys have been able to give you a sub-3 ERA. Outside of those two guys, you just don't really have a lot. And let's call it what it is. Are you really going to be able to get supreme length out of Logan Allen, a guy who has been giving up quite a few walks, a guy that has been pretty shaky as well? So that means that a Cleveland Guardians bullpen is going to be a little bit more depleted, and then you have to go to guys that have been long relievers that just have not been able to get the job done. It's been a tough year for someone like a Tim Herron as well. So yeah, I do think that with the San Francisco Giants, that bullpen edge becomes even bigger in this spot tonight.
Well, breaking news just now, LSU has taken the lead with a two-out single as they have scored two runs now. 2-1, LSU leads Arkansas, bottom of the sixth inning there in Omaha. Taking a look at your live market right now as this fluctuates with every single pitch. It is frozen. We'll get you the live line once that repopulates here on the sports books. But LSU taking a 2-1 lead, bottom of the sixth inning in Omaha as they look to clinch their spot in the championship series this weekend against Coastal Carolina. All right, Greg, let's get to the second game of the late schedule, and that is the Astros at the A's. Houston put up 13 runs in Sacramento last night and now gets to face a Luis Severino who has some of the most mind-boggling, eye-opening, jaw-dropping, whatever adjective you want to use, home road splits we have ever seen. I'm on the Astros team total to go over in this one. I'm on the Astros on the run line. This is all about fading Luis Severino for me tonight.
Yep, you mentioned it. How about a 0.93 ERA for Luis Severino on the road and a 7.10 ERA at home? What? Now, typically, this is supposed to work the opposite. We know that Sacramento is very much a hitter's ballpark, so I mean, you can expect the home and road splits to be a little bit wonky for the A's, but not nearly eight times with regards to the ERA. Like, this is just absolutely wild. And Framber Valdez, I do think that he probably sees a little bit of regression here just because you have to pitch in Sacramento. The only ballpark that has a higher ballpark factor for hitters right now is Colorado. So I'm right there with you in terms of an over. Now, I just took the full game over on a 9.5 because, I mean, let's call it what it is. The Astros might be able to do this all by themselves. And
yeah.
I also took a shot on the Astros on the run line. I was able to find that right around even money myself, and I think that you got some good value there. So I rode the Astros, and I'm in on this over.
Yeah, I like it. You're right. Both teams can score. The full game can go over. For me, I just wanted to isolate the Astros. And, you know, maybe I put a little bit of trust in Framber, but I just went with the Astros on the run line and the Astros team total to go over. We have a game I want to get to real quick, Greg, because it would start in about 10 minutes. The delay, rain delay, lengthy rain delay in Cincinnati between the Reds and the Twins. They will actually play this game. First pitch is about 8 minutes or so from now. Nick Lodolo scheduled to go for the Reds against Bailey Aubert for the Twins. Reds are a small favorite in this game. What do you like?
Yeah, this is just such an interesting game with having such a lengthy rain delay, but nice that they're going to be able to get it in. I actually did set the Twins as a very slight favorite here. I was able to get them when they were more around about a minus 102 to a minus 105. So I do think that with the Minnesota Twins, you've got a little bit of value here with the guy in Bailey Aubert that I think that he's bounces back. He's been experiencing a career low, about 7 strikeouts per 9 innings. But for Nick Lodolo, his strikeouts are way down as well. And for both of these teams, they've had a bit of a struggle with regards to the bullpen for the Reds. They've actually been hitting less at home rather than on the road, which is very, very strange because you talk about Great American Ballpark. They call it Great American Small Park for a reason. But with the Twins, I do think that they're going to be able to pick it up. The top-end guys like Yoan Duran, along with as well Danny Kalumbu, just came off the injured list. They've been rock solid, and I just have a little bit more trust in those guys. And for Lodolo, just haven't loved what I've seen out of them this year. So I did ride with the Twins, and with regards to this total, I do think that both of these guys have the propensity to bounce back just a little bit. I semi-total more around about a 9.2. I do think that with the bullpen struggles of both of these teams, it does make it a little bit of an issue. So with a 9, I would be willing to go over.
You'd go over with the 9. Okay. What about the Padres against the Dodgers? Steven Kolek, who's been pretty good on the mound for the Padres, gets the start. Emmett Sheehan will start for the Dodgers. Dodgers north of $2 favorites here. What do we think about this game? And can the Padres pull off an upset here over LA?
Yeah, that's a lot of respect for a guy that hasn't pitched on a big league mound in 2023. And even when he was on a big league mound in 2023, it's not like he was great. Like a 4.92 ERA. I will say this. If you look at his minor league rehab starts, 21 strikeouts and 11 and a third innings for Emmett Sheehan. Minor leagues versus major leagues, big, big difference. And I recognize that the Padres have been relatively pedestrian in terms of their offense as far this season, but I am being able to get this sort of plus number with a guy in Steven Kolek who's been fine. 3.50 ERA, not some sort of strikeout artist. He'll give you about 6.5 or so strikeouts per 9 innings, but has kept the ball in the yard. I just feel like this is too big of a number to pass up, especially with the Padres having the massive advantage in the bullpen as well. Even with Michael Kopech coming back for the LA Dodgers, it is a case where the Dodgers bullpen has been a little bit hit or miss. So I rode with the San Diego Padres on the money line. And with this 9.5, I do still think that the Dodgers score plenty of runs. I'm in on the over.
Yeah, I like the Padres. You're right. This is too much. This is too much to like here. You get a nice fat plus money price here on a Padres team that is certainly capable, even without Jackson Merrill, of scoring runs. And I do value Steven Kolek. And plus, I just like fading guys coming off the IL. Now, I am not doing it tonight with the Giants and Verlander, but I am going to do it here with Emmett Sheehan and the Dodgers here. So give me the Padres. One final thing, Greg, if we talk about some prop bets, and you know, I mentioned we already talked about this game with Rafael Devers and the Giants against the Guardians, but in regards to Devers and his ability to produce offensively against Logan Allen, do we like Rafael Devers to once again go over maybe a 1.5 hits plus runs plus RBIs here tonight?
I think that that's a solid look because, again, even if he doesn't necessarily get there against what we're going to be seeing against Logan Allen, this is also a depleted Cleveland Guardians bullpen that they might not have their A-list guys out there tonight as well. So I think that that makes it all the better. And even when the Guardians have had their A-plus guys, this has been a league average bullpen in terms of ERA. For Devers, I wouldn't be sprinkling too much on a home run prop just because I do think that his home run props are probably going to be a little bit overvalued moving from Boston to San Francisco. I think that he hits fewer bombs, but you know what? He could certainly get some doubles. He could certainly get some extra bases. I do like that over.
Would you rather do over 1.5 total bases at plus money or lay juice and go over 1.5 hits plus runs plus RBIs?
I would rather go with the over 1.5 total bases because you can get two singles, you can get a double, something like that. So I'd be looking at the over 1.5 total bases.
All right, great stuff, Greg. Appreciate the time and the insight. Good luck with your bets. And we'll be listening and watching along with you tonight.
Always appreciate it, Scott. Thank you.
There he is, our very own Greg Peterson. He hosts the Baseball Betting Show, podcast available wherever you get your podcasts from. Breaks down every single game on the Major League Baseball board. And Greg will be on Cashing Out coming up a little bit later on this evening. I'm Scott Seidenberg. You can always hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. If you want to make smarter bets this football season, start with a VSiN Pro subscription for a limited time. You can grab our football special at the early bird rate of $175. It gives you full access from now through the Super Bowl. And that includes our NFL betting guide. You're also going to get the daily best bets email, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, the access to the VSiN Watch app, and all the analytics and betting tools on VSiN.com. So go to VSiN.com/subscribe and lock in your early bird football special now. This is Primetime here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on VSiN Primetime, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you here on the Sports Betting Network. And my, how things have changed so quickly. At one time, we were looking at Arkansas as a minus 200 favorite on the live betting line as they had a 1-0 lead over LSU. But in the bottom of the sixth inning, LSU with two runs to take the lead over Arkansas. And now the Razorbacks, are on the brink of elimination. Right now, taking a look at the live line in the seventh inning, LSU minus 345 with your live total of 5.5 juiced at minus 135 to the under. So monitoring the action there with two outs in the top of the seventh inning, Arkansas trailing LSU 2-1. If LSU wins, they will take on Coastal Carolina on Saturday in your national championship series. Game one will be on Saturday. Coastal with the nation's longest winning streak right now, 26 consecutive games as the futures market has adjusted with LSU taking the lead. LSU plus 110 to win the national championship, Coastal plus 155, Arkansas down to plus 320. That's irrelevant. We just know that it's going to change with how this game continues to change. But right now with LSU with the lead, and I can tell you right now, both LSU or Arkansas are going to be favored over Coastal in the national championship series. So it's just a matter of which team advances there. And right now, it is looking like LSU has a strong case, as in the top of the seventh, they have a 2-1 lead over Arkansas. And LSU minus 345, now minus 395 on the live line. We'll continue to monitor that as they get into the later parts of this game. Again, top of the seventh, LSU, two runs in the bottom of the sixth, taking a 2-1 lead. Also, it's getting late early, as they say in the Bronx, bottom of the seventh inning between the Yankees and the Angels, and we are still knotted at two, all four runs in this game coming on four solo home runs. The Angels have eight hits in this game. Meanwhile, the Yankees, I mentioned two of the runs came on two solo home runs. They only have three hits in this game. So yes, they snapped their scoreless inning streak at 30 consecutive innings without scoring a run. And they avoid, for the first time in history ever, being shut out in four consecutive games. But this is still an offense that is struggling mightily. Only three hits tonight. Yes, two of those hits were solo home runs by Jazz Chisholm and Cody Bellinger. But only three hits against Jack Kakanowicz, of all people. No disrespect to the Angels and their pitching staff, but Jack Kakanowicz came into this game with a 5.5 ERA and had given up two or more runs in his last five starts, four or more runs in four of those five starts. And he gives up two runs here on two solo home runs, striking out eight batters. The Yankees let Jack Kakanowicz strike out eight batters tonight. That is the most batters that Kakanowicz has struck out all season. He had never had more than six strikeouts in a game. If you don't think this is an issue, then you're not watching. This Yankee offense is an issue. This is as bad as it gets. Something has to change, even if they win this game. And they're still favored to do so because they're the home team and it's a tie game. Even if they win this game, something has to change. Whether it's a lineup tweak, whether it's dismissing the pitching coach or having just a new approach at the plate, whatever it is, Yankees got to make a move. Because this entire team is slumping. And Aaron Judge is slumping as well. Now, no one's going to get on Aaron Judge because he's still batting 368 on the year. But he is 0 for 3 tonight with two strikeouts. He is in the midst of a pretty big slump here for the Yankees. Now, a lot of the times when I watch baseball, I get frustrated. First off, we know betting baseball is like the old saying is whiskey in a revolver, right? It's tough. But what I've noticed, and I'm about to be get off my lawn guy here for a second, is there's no more reaction in baseball. There's no see ball, hit ball. There's so much information out there now. And in my opinion, too much information that these batters and these pitchers that everybody has when it comes to the game. Like we know all the analytics sites out there, all the stats, they're great. And I love it. I'm an analytics guy. I love looking at the advanced numbers. But to me, there's too much information. We see these players, we see these hitting coaches, these offensive coordinators. I didn't even know that was a term in baseball, but we saw the Texas Rangers fire their offensive coordinator, I'm using air quotes for the people that are listening, earlier in the season because of their struggles. And when I saw that, I'm like, what the heck's an offensive coordinator? And they said that, well, the offensive coordinator was going over the game plans and the approaches as opposed to the hitting mechanics and whatnot like the hitting instructors do. But what that means is that there's too much information out there. At times, I'm seeing guys, whenever you see a guy swing at a pitch that is just so far out of the zone, and we say, oh, he was guessing. Yes, they are guessing. And I understand the mechanics. I know. I played the game. I understand that you don't have no time, fractions of a second, to make a decision whether you want to swing or not. But back in the day, when there was less information, it was reactionary. See the ball, hit the ball. Pick up the rotation out of the pitcher's arm. Use your brain to kind of figure out, you know, what you think the pitcher's going to throw, and then react. If you see the pitch starting out of the zone with rotation, it's probably going to end up out of the zone even further. If you see it high, well, it was read and react. Nowadays, there's so much information out there. These batters go up in every at bat, knowing every tendency of the pitchers they're going to face. The pitchers know every tendency of the batters they're going to face. They know. These batters go up and they know because it's been drilled into them in the scouting reports prior to every series and every game. Hey, this pitcher in 0-2 counts throws this pitch 90% of the time. This pitcher in 1-2 counts throws this pitch 87% of the time. And so they go up there with this knowledge. And they sit there and they go, well, I know it's a 1-2 count. I went over this with my hitting coach. He said this pitcher throws a slider 90% of the time in 1-2 counts. So I'm going to expect a slider on this pitch. And then when it's a fastball right down the middle and they don't swing, you're like, wait, what? It's because they are guessing because of the over amount of information that they're providing. And so when I see a team struggling, like the Yankees are struggling, it's not so much about the lack of confidence at the plate or the players just not putting good swings on pitches. To me, it comes down to either over-preparation or under-preparation. Over-preparation meaning that they're guessing too much and they're not reacting enough. Under-preparation meaning that the opposing teams got the jump on the Yankees. that the opposing pitchers are now ahead because they know what the Yankees know and the Yankees aren't adjusting. And so if the Yankees go up and the plan is and Volpe gets to the plate and he's thinking, hey, I went over this prior to the series, all of our analytics team, and the Yankees have an incredible analytics team, one of the best in baseball, and they say, hey, I've been told this pitcher throws this slider 85% of the time. I'm going up here and I'm sitting for this slider. Well, if the opposing team is ahead and they say, hey, the Yankees know this, so we're going to tweak our game plan a bit for this game and we're going to go off of our tendencies, there hasn't been an adjustment. You don't see a team with players as good as this lineup is not score a run in 30 consecutive innings. Just doesn't happen. There's reasons behind everything, and it's not as simple as, oh, they were tired coming to the ballpark today. Or, oh, they're just not getting good wood on the ball. No. There's deeper concerns here with this New York Yankees offense. Still tied at 2, top of the 8th inning now. Mike Trout is up, and mentioned this earlier, he had a chance at a double in his last at-bat, but he hit it too well. Ball was hit too hard, went off the wall, and Aaron Judge got it in quickly in right field. So he was held at first, Mike Trout was, with a single. So if you bet Mike Trout's over total bases here in the top of the 8th, this might be his final at-bat of the game. I mean, I guess we could go to extra innings as well, but this is your opportunity right now to cash your bet. Or if you bet an under, you're hoping that he does nothing here in this at-bat here in the 8th inning, as he was held to just a single in his prior at-bat, and he was 0-2. Prior to that. Hey, if you're into futures wagering, fantasy, or you just like the thrill of calling your own shot, you need to check out xcuta.com. That's X-C-U-T-T-A, and it's basically the future of how we play. Think of it like combining a live auction with the strategy of sports betting. You choose who you want to bid on. Players, teams, golfers, even horse racing. Over 1,000 athletes and teams to choose from across every major sport. You set the terms, build your own auction, and invite your friends to play. You can even start auctions for free. It's like creating your own mini sports book with your crew. So here's the hookup. Email support at xcuta.com, mention VSiN, and they'll send you a special 3-month player promo code to get started. Again, that's xcuta.com, xcuta.com. Futures wagering just got a serious upgrade. Speaking of the futures market, we had the odds for next year's Stanley Cup come out after the Panthers won their second Stanley Cup last night. Talk about why I don't necessarily agree with what we see at the top. Coming up, I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is VSiN Primetime here on the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I'm just going to make a sign for myself that says live overs. We talked about it earlier in the program. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is VSiN Primetime here on the Sports Betting Network. Live overs and baseball blowouts. Because sometimes these games become further blowouts or they don't become blowouts at all. The Orioles scored 8 runs in the top of the 2nd inning against the Tampa Bay Rays, and we gave out our best bet here on the program, a live bet of over 15.5 runs between the Rays and the Orioles. The Tampa Bay Rays didn't even bat in the bottom of the 2nd inning yet. They did load the bases in the bottom of the 2nd, but they didn't score. And I was kind of bummed out by that because I thought, hey, the Rays score in the bottom of the 2nd. We are on our way towards a live over. Well, we are on our way towards a live over cashing. Right now, they are in the bottom of the 5th inning in Tampa. The Orioles have an 8-6 lead now over the Rays. So the over for the full game is cashed. Forget about that. But the live over was 15.5. Orioles were up 8-0 in the top of the 2nd inning. It is now an 8-6 ball game. Yennier Cano is on for the Orioles here in the 5th inning. The Rays still have a runner on with 2 outs. Could you imagine Rays score 2 runs here and tie this game at 8? And, like, imagine your first 5 betting roller coaster. And it's funny because we did mention that game between the Padres and the Marlins earlier because Steven Kolek's pitching tonight for the Padres. So I mentioned that game where Kolek gave up 6 runs in the top of the 1st inning and the Padres came all the way back to win that game. In fact, win the first 5 innings. They had a 7-6 lead after the 5th inning. and Steven Kolek stayed in for all of it. And so Kolek gives up six runs in the top of the first inning. And then the Padres, they win the first five. So imagine you bet like plus a half a run in the first five innings on the Marlins and you lost that. Imagine you bet the Orioles in the first five innings. And now you can still win because it's not over yet. But you had an 8-0 lead in the second inning. And you are sweating out right now the final out of the bottom of the fifth as the Rays have scored 6 runs now and have come all the way back. Your adjusted live total now, which we played it at 15.5, it is now at 17.5, -124 to the over. So how about that? Let's go Rays. Well, either way, we just need a couple runs here and we will cash this live over. 8-6, bottom of the fifth inning still between the Orioles and the Rays in Tampa. Meanwhile, no score in the bottom of the fourth inning in D.C. The Nationals and the Rockies were delayed by a lengthy rain delay. And despite the fact that both of these teams are playing against each other tomorrow, they did not want to do a doubleheader tomorrow because, one, they knew that there was going to be a window tonight to get this game in. And also, both of these teams, after the day game tomorrow, have to hop on flights to go to the West Coast. The Rockies return home. The Nationals will be in L.A. to face the Dodgers. So a doubleheader tomorrow would not have been good for either of these teams. So they got the game in tonight. This was a game where I was on the over, and it has not played out, despite hits galore. 5 hits already for the Rockies, 4 hits for the Nationals here in just 4 innings, or, you know, 3.5 innings. We've already had 9 hits in this game, but no runs have been scored yet. Rockies and Nationals are scoreless. Your live total right now in that game, for those who are wondering, is at 5.5, -106 to the over. And the Rockies are a team that I actually wanted to back here with their offense because they have scored 26 runs in their last 3 games. I mean, they have been on fire. The one cause for concern, though, Hunter Goodman not in the lineup tonight for the Rockies. And he has been incredible for them. Not in the lineup tonight for the Rockies, getting the day off as he has played a bunch of games in a row and is going to play tomorrow. So Hunter Goodman not catching for the Rockies. He's got 14 home runs on the season right now. Would have liked to see him in the lineup tonight for the over, but and I'm confused. I was kind of confused also because it's like, why not play him tonight and then sit him tomorrow in the day game after the night game? But I do understand that because of the rain delay, and maybe these teams know the weather reports also, if they knew that there was going to be a delay in this game tonight and maybe a potential for the game not to be played, you could give him extended rest and you can say, hey, listen, you're not playing tonight because there's a chance that we could play 2 games tomorrow, but also we don't want you to warm up and then sit down, like, you know, and then have the uncertainty about playing when you're going to play. Just take the night off and then we'll get you back in the lineup here tomorrow. So no Goodman in the lineup for the Rockies. Game is tied 0-0, bottom of the fourth inning. They're in the top of the eighth inning in the Bronx, and the Yankees are going to the bullpen. The Angels have loaded the bases against the Yankees, and they're going to Tim Hill right now. It was, it was Fernando Cruz in the game for the Yankees. And with one out here in the top of the eighth inning, the Angels have loaded the bases. So Mike Trout started the inning with a walk, and then Ward walk, O'Hop struck out swinging, and Rengifo walked. So Fernando Cruz walking the bases loaded. Tim Hill is now in the game pitching to Joe Adell as the Yankees and Angels are tied at 2 with one out in the bottom of the eighth inning there in the Bronx. Prior to this at bat going off right now, the Angels are now -205 favorites for the game. So if you think right now the Yankees can get out of this jam and come back, you get them at +150 right now if you think that Tim Hill can get out of this jam. He's just a ground ball away from it because turn a double play, get out of the inning, and then the Yankees will bat in the bottom of the eighth. Top of the eighth inning in Toronto, the Blue Jays with an 8-1 lead over the Diamondbacks as they are on their way towards another victory, and we continue to fade the Diamondbacks. This fade train has been beautiful as of late. Now, they did have a little winning streak, but they have lost 2 straight, headed towards a 3rd straight loss here for the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Braves, meanwhile, with a 5-0 lead over the Mets in the going to the top of the ninth inning there in Atlanta. Chris Sale got the start. He is still in the game. I can't imagine he goes out for the ninth. He's already at 102 pitches after eight innings of work. Four hits allowed as he struck out six with one walk. As did Anthony Volpe just make an error? It looked like a double play ball from Tim Hill that Volpe, I think Anthony Volpe just made an error costing the Yankees this game. Angels have a 3-2 lead over the Yankees. I'm going to watch this replay as it is a, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. That's bad. That is a tailor-made double play 8 days a week. And Volpe bobbles it, throws it away, so they don't even get the force out at second. And now the Angels still have the bases loaded with one out and a 3-2 lead over the Yankees as it goes from bad to worse for the Bombers. I understand tough little hop there, but that is a play that Major League shortstops make, I want to say, I mean, can I say 100% of the time? Can I say 100% of the time? I mean, it's an error in baseball is when a play should be made, right? So if the play should be made, then at least they should get one out there. I'm not saying they automatically turn a double play, but that you 100% of the time get it out there. Now, nothing's 100% in life, but that is a bad error by Anthony Volpe there. Yankees down 3-2 now, and Tim Hill in further of a jam in the top of the eighth inning. Well, the Minnesota Twins and Cincinnati Reds finally got underway after their own lengthy rain delay, and the Twins jumped out to a 1-0 lead over Nick Lodolo in the first inning. It was Brian Buxton with a solo home run to lead off the game for the Minnesota Twins. They actually put some runners on base as well, and then Nick Lodolo was able to get out of that jam. But the very first pitch of the game, solo home run for Brian Buxton as the Twins took a 1-0 lead. But in the bottom of the first, the Reds bounced back with two runs of their own on a two-run home run by Steer after Eli De La Cruz struck out swinging. It was Friedel led off the inning with a single. Then Gavin Lux struck out, Eli De La Cruz struck out, and then Steer with the two-run home run. So the Reds with a 2-1 lead over the Twins, top of the second inning now there in Cincinnati. Elsewhere, the Orioles and Rays are tied at 8. We have cashed the live over for the best bet here on the program of over 15.5 runs, and the Rays scoring two more runs on that Brandon Lowe two-run home run off of Yennier Cano. Tampa scored four runs in the bottom of the fifth inning. Now, I have no dog in this fight besides the live over here. But you just pushed a first five-inning bet. If you had Rays money line first five innings or Orioles first five innings money line, the fact that this was a push after the Orioles had an 8-0 lead in the second inning is unbelievable. If you had Rays first five inning and you just got that push, like maybe stop betting. That's like the best bet. That's the best push you're ever going to get in your life. Unbelievable. We'll update you on what's going on in the College World Series coming up next. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is VSiN Primetime. I want to remind you guys about the all-in package here at Circa Las Vegas. It's just $400 all in. You'll get a two-night stay at Circa, a $100 dining credit, a $100 beverage credit, and your very own day bed at Stadium Swim, all for just $400, resort fees and taxes included. It's a limited-time offer. Goes through September 4th. Book now at CircaLasVegas.com. This is Primetime right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on VSiN Primetime. I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on the Sports Betting Network, updating you on the situation going on in Omaha, where in the top of the eighth inning, Arkansas has scored twice to take a 3-2 lead over LSU. Yes, back and forth affair going on in Omaha. The Arkansas Razorbacks saying, our season's not over yet. we're not ready to be eliminated. We want to play another game tomorrow. So Arkansas was up 1-0. Then LSU scoring two runs in the top of the eighth inning, and two runs in the bottom of the sixth inning to take a 2-1 lead. And Arkansas has bounced back now with two runs in the top of the eighth inning, 3-2. Arkansas leads LSU going to the bottom of the eighth there in Omaha. Taking a look at the live line right now, as we have Arkansas as a -250 favorite. Live total hasn't popped up yet, and there it is, 6.5, -125 to the over. And so we have the bottom of the eighth, top of the ninth, and bottom of the ninth coming up here for Arkansas LSU. Again, the situation here in Omaha is if Arkansas wins, these two teams will be at it again tomorrow. And I gotta venture that Arkansas would be a favorite in that game. Arkansas was a favorite when these two teams played in the first game of the College World Series on Saturday. And Arkansas in that game was, let's see, I'll get you the exact lines of that game. Is Arkansas was a favorite in that game, and they were a favorite in this game, and I understand why they were a favorite in this game. They're power rated as the better team. They were the favorite coming into this tournament. LSU was the second favorite. The line closed in that first game with Arkansas was about -130 or so. Money came in on Arkansas, just like money came in on Arkansas tonight. Arkansas opened as a -130 favorite. They closed at -155 here in this game tonight. Also, the total got jacked up as well, as that was pushed to 11 for this game. As we sit here 3-2 with one out in the bottom of the eighth inning, Arkansas now a -300 favorite on the live line. If Arkansas wins, again, these two teams will play again tomorrow, and I would expect Arkansas to be the favorite in that game coming up tomorrow. And then the winner of that game will face Coastal Carolina in the championship series beginning on Saturday. Congratulations to all those who cashed along with us with our live over on the Rays-Orioles game. It is 8-8 going to the bottom of the sixth inning in Tampa. This would be some loss for the Baltimore Orioles if they go on to lose this game. Up 8-0 in the second inning, and now it's an 8-8 ball game. Congratulations, we cashed the live over. This is why we bet these things. This is why these opportunities present themselves and we take advantage when we have a situation that calls for it. Because with an 8-0 lead for the Orioles, right, they you know, Trevor Rogers is in the game, and he gives up three runs, you're still up 8-3. Well, then they go to Scott Blewett out of the bullpen. He gives up one run. Yennier Cano comes in and gives up four runs. Now you got Sir Anthony Dominguez in. Now, I'm sure if this was, you know, an 8-4 ball game earlier on, maybe Sir Anthony Dominguez is pitching. But obviously it's early in the game. You're not going to use some of your high leverage guys. So they go to some of the other, they blew it, and then eventually Cano. And Cano could have been, he has been a high leverage guy in the past, but you're not going to go to Soto. You're not going to go to Dominguez. You're going to wait and not use those guys if you don't have to. Well, now you have to, because here we are, tied at 8 in the bottom of the sixth inning. Also, drama right now in the Bronx, as the Angels with a 3-2 lead over the Yankees in the bottom of the eighth inning. New York almost got out of a jam in the top of the eighth, but Anthony Volpe's error allowed a run to score in the top of the eighth inning. So the Yankees down 3-2. They have runners on first and second, and Aaron Judge is coming to the plate. Judge is 0-3 on the night with two strikeouts, as he is in the midst of a slump, just like the entire Yankee team is in the midst of a slump. To start this inning, it was a leadoff walk by Jason Dominguez. Austin Wells was then hit by a pitch. Wells was pinch hitting for Peraza. Wells was hit by a pitch. Trent Grisham was up, and on a 2-1 count, pops up and fouls out to the catcher. Disappointing at bat there for Trent Grisham. And now the Angels go to their bullpen to bring in Connor Brogdon to face Aaron Judge with two runners on here, bottom of the eighth inning. And let's take a look at the live market right now. as more drama in Omaha, real quick. LSU has scored and tied the game. My goodness, what a game going on right now. LSU gets a tying home run. Wow. That's incredible. So, Jared Jones homers to tie the game at 3. And so we are tied 3-3, bottom of the 8th inning in Omaha. If you bet that live total over 6.5, you cashed it. Right now, the live total is at 7.5, minus 135 to the under. LSU, because they are the home team in this game, now a minus 140 favorite with a tie game here in the bottom of the 8th. 2 outs, LSU does have a runner on. My goodness, the drama going on there in Omaha. Now, if I lose this under 11, I'm going to be very upset. And I know that extras, but, I mean, I'm going to be very upset. Let's just get someone to win this game 4-3, preferably Arkansas. But Aaron Judge coming to the plate right now for the Yankees. Your live market on this game between the Yankees and the Angels. Yankees are a minus 120 live favorite, which is crazy because they're down 3-2. But there's one out here in the bottom of the 8th inning. One swing from Aaron Judge could not only could give them a lead, certainly by multiple runs. And Aaron Judge does swing and doesn't get all of it as he flies out to center field. As there is, the runner does tag up. So, first and third now for the Yankees with 2 outs. And I would imagine that the line would change right now. And it does. Yankees now plus 150 on the money line. One pitch, one swing from Aaron Judge. A fly out to center field. 0-4 on the night. And now Cody Bellinger will come to the plate. Bellinger is having a great night. 2-for-3. And there is runners on first and third with 2 outs here in the bottom of the 8th inning. Not the at-bat that Yankee fans wanted to see from Aaron Judge there with potentially with the game on the line. Game on the line there from Aaron Judge. How about that? Just swinging. One pitch, one fly out. Good job by Connor Brogdon there. Elsewhere in progress, the Reds now with a 3-1 lead over the Twins. So they weren't done scoring there as they scored 2 in the bottom of the first, 1 run in the bottom of the second on a McLean single. So we are monitoring our Ellie De La Cruz bet as we did bet over 1.5 total bases for Ellie De La Cruz in this one. And we know he struck out in his first at bat. And he will be leading off the bottom of the third. So we'll keep an eye on Ellie De La Cruz, who was leading off the bottom of the third. He struck out in the first at bat, as I mentioned. We do have Cruz over 1.5 total bases, and the Reds on the money line there up 3-1. Going to the bottom of the sixth inning, the Royals with a 4-3 lead over the Rangers. Going to the bottom of the first, the Guardians scoring 1 run in the top of the first off of Justin Verlander. So Cleveland with an early 1-0 lead as they get a Jose Ramirez single, scoring Kyle Manzardo as Justin Verlander gives up 1 run there in the top of the first inning. Stephen Kwan flied out, then Manzardo doubled to right. Ramirez then singled, scoring Manzardo. Ramirez was then caught stealing, and Verlander got Santana to fly out to center field. So not the cleanest first inning for Justin Verlander in his return from the IL. Cash the Yerfy, the yes run scored in the first inning. Exit velos as all 4 guys put the ball in play. 95.1, 93.7, 92.2, 90.9 off of the bats. The first 4 batters all putting the ball in play against Justin Verlander. So again, not the great start that you want, but the Giants will now have their chance at the bat in the bottom of the first inning. Your live line right now on that game is Giants still minus 131 favorites against the Cleveland Guardians. Taking a look at the late games as Cody Bellinger pops out to foul territory, third base, as the Angels will take a 3-2 lead to the top of the ninth inning. So the Yankees waste an opportunity, first and second with nobody out, and they don't score 1 run with the top of the order up. Trent Grisham, Aaron Judge, Cody Bellinger go pop out, fly out to center field, pop out. That is a bad job by the Yankees, and no surprise because we talked about just how much they're struggling. no surprise, this team is in a bad, bad way. We have two games starting in about 5 to 10 minutes from now. We'll preview those two coming up next, plus get into game six of the NBA Finals, which is tomorrow. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is VSiN Primetime here on the Sports Betting Network.